Radio.
Dear brothers and sisters, seeing this means you haven't given up after the first talk quite as yet. So welcome to the second part of this little series. The first one was about a symphony, and I hope you haven't forgotten all the instruments. This talk, as I mentioned, it will be about a door. The Pope proclaiming Year of Faith. He wrote a little paper, and this little paper starts with this few lines. The door of faith. This is obviously the door we're talking about. The door of faith is always open for us, ushering us into the life of communion with God and offering entry into His church. It is possible to cross that threshold when the word of God is proclaimed and the heart allows itself to be shaped by transforming grace. To enter through the door is to set out on a journey that lasts a lifetime. So the Pope Benedict, he is inviting us, that means like you and me, to enter through a door, not just any door. He is asking us to enter through the door of faith. If you want to look it up, he actually takes this word from the Acts of the Apostles in chapter 14, verse 27. He is inviting us to enter through this door of faith. And he's saying, it is possible. You can cross this threshold. Now, to cross a threshold, it does mean a change. It does mean something. Like some romantic people, they like, after the wedding, to carry their bride, now their wife, over the threshold into this new house, into this new life. The Pope says it is possible to cross this threshold of the door of faith. We need to listen to the word of God when it is proclaimed, and we need to allow our heart to be shaped by transforming grace. He also warns us, he says, crossing this threshold sets you on a journey that lasts a lifetime. He says crossing the threshold means your life never be the same. So let us take courage to cross. We can cross. It is possible. But do we want our hearts to be changed? Do we want the transformation? Maybe some of us are a bit reluctant, although they know that we need to be transformed, we need to be changed, we need to become this clay in the potter's hand. Maybe some of us are so convinced that they're actually really nicely shaped, they just don't really need any reshaping, don't really need any formation, don't need any change. Well, for those who have good news, skip the rest of the talk, because the rest is only for people who know they aren't perfect yet and they need to be shaped. For those, even if the clay over the years has become a bit dry, has become a bit hard, let us take courage. Even if our clay is dry and hard, let us put ourselves back into the hand of the potter. Water the clay inform us again. Coming back into the hands of the potter. Letting water soak us so he can shape us. And let us not be afraid of the potter's hands. The shape that he brings forth is always far more beautiful than the one we put into his hand. Now, the Pope is inviting us to enter new again, and he is inviting us to discover faith. He is inviting us to discover a faith that transforms us. He is not just asking us to look at faith. As you look at a statue, as you look at the scenery, no, he wants us to discover a faith that transforms us. That transforms us also not from the outside to the inside, but a faith that transforms us from the inside outwards. So he invites us to discover this faith new. He invites us to be formed. And as formed, as transformed people, to proclaim this faith. So then he writes in this document that he wrote, it's called obviously in Latin, Porta Fidei, the door of faith. He writes, it is in this sense that the year of faith will have to see a concerted effort to rediscover and study the fundamental content of the faith that receives its systematic and organic synthesis in the Catechism of the Catholic Church. Here, in fact, we see the wealth of teaching that the Church has received, safeguarded, and proposed in her 2,000 years of history. And then from sacred scripture, fathers of the Church, theological masters, saints across the centuries. And he continues. Now, see, many of us, praise God, we read the Bible. We read the Word of God. We read sacred scriptures. Not enough, but we do read. What about the Catechism? What about the Catechism that is up and about already for so long? Do I actually have one? Well, if you don't, be encouraged to buy one. If you don't have the money to buy one, borrow the money. Get a catechism. Now I have one. Do I read it? Well, yeah, I read it. I look at it. When I have a question, I might even look there for an answer. When I have to prepare a talk, a preaching, a sharing, then I look it up to attach some authority as to what I want to say. Because if I say something, well, it's just me saying it. If I can back it up with some quotation from the Catechism, that adds significant authority. So I look to the Catechism when I want to find some authority backing up what I'm going to say. But other than that, not really much in the habit of looking into the Catechism, especially not on a regular basis. After all, even like what we just heard, study, systematic, organic, synthesis, deposit, theological, gray, boring, who needs that? What we need is life. And life we find in many places, but nobody would really expect that we would find it in the Catechism. The Catechism, as solid like concrete, also gray as concrete. And really, who likes concrete? If we do come to read it for one reason or the other, we read it unchanged. If we do read it, we might even pass on and tell others what's written in it, but we are hardly ever changed by what we read in the Catechism. We like it when the Catechism says what we also would say, when it agrees with us, and we just simply ignore it where it says something else, where it does not agree with us. So the Catechism, very easy to handle. Take it when you like it, ignore it when you don't. So we avoid being formed by it. Because you see, forming we do not need in the places where we agree. Forming we need in the places exactly where we do not agree. Well, you might say, yeah, I like to be formed by God, but I really, I don't need the teaching of the church. What we need is the sacraments. What we need is prayer. What we need is the word of God. Hang on. What do you mean, the word of God? Is the word of God identical with sacred scripture? Did we not just, in the talk before, listen to a whole symphony? So is the word of God to us by now a symphony? So when we are convinced that we need the word of God, do we not need significantly more than just sacred scriptures? Now don't get me wrong, and our church for sure venerates ever since the divinely inspired word, Holy Scriptures, very, very much. But also we know that God communicates himself, as mentioned before, in this whole symphony. Why would we not want to listen to the word of God as God brings it to us? So the teaching of the church, the catechism, is an important a necessary instrument in this symphony that brings about this one sound, the one word of God. Many, many, many years ago, the ICP mission gathered in a small island, in a beautiful small island in Malta. That was in 1989. And we had a leadership training program. There we invited different speakers, and one of them was an Irish priest, Father Jim Birmingham. I don't remember a word of what he taught. But one thing, because it upset me so much, I remember to this very day. He was talking of how he spends his quiet time, his personal daily prayer time. And so he was saying, like, when he goes for his personal prayer time, he takes with him, of course, the Holy Scriptures, the Bible, and the documents of Vatican II. At that point, he lost all the points he had with me. Because I thought, what a weird man. When you go to pray, you pray, and you read the Bible. You don't read church documents, man. Because you see, for me, there was a clear distinction. One is the word of God, and the other is opinions and writings of some people who meet in some places. I had not understood what obviously to this man was very clear. The teaching of the church is also the word of God. And so in his prayer time, he also looks into the teaching of the church. Now maybe you feel a bit now the way I felt then. But you see, if Christ is with the successors of the apostles, if Christ is speaking through them, I need to listen to them. I don't want to miss listening to them. In this catechism, you know, it is numbered, you know, it starts with number one and goes up to 2000, I don't know what. And this catechism in number four, I'd like to read just a few lines. This is pretty much at the beginning of the catechism. Quite early on, the name catechesis. See, this is the one thing I actually would like to change about the catechism, because catechesis, it has such a bad reputation. That word just doesn't bring really good vibrations. But it is called catechesis. Quite early on, the name catechesis was given to the totality of the church's efforts to make disciples. Catechesis was the name given to the entire efforts of the church to make disciples. Well, maybe we don't really kind of recognize it so easily. The one aim of the church is to make disciples. And not of anyone somewhere in the wide world, to make disciples of you and me. The church, all the efforts it takes, has one aim: to make you and me a disciple of Christ. And to educate, again in the catechism, same place, and to educate and instruct them in this life of a disciple. That is what the teaching of the church, or the efforts of the church, is all about. Making us disciples, and educate us, and instruct us to live the life of a disciple. So the aim of the catechism is that, to form you and me into a disciple, to teach us how to live the life of a disciple. I think few of us would have expected that to be the point of the catechism. Probably would have looked more to the catechism as like the list of do's and don'ts. The catechism is a tool God has given to form you and me into his disciples. So I'd like to introduce to us the catechism as the handbook for discipleship. I'd like to see that we come in this year of faith into the habit of taking and using the Catechism of the Catholic Church as our personal handbook for discipleship. Never thought of it? Nor did I till just recently. But that is really what it is. The Lord trying to help us living the life of a disciple, formed by his word. And in that symphony, this catechism plays. plays an important instrument. This point, of course, we can ask ourselves, well, what are the sources where I receive my formation from? Who do I listen to? Who do I trust? Where do I get my formation as disciple? Why not listen to Christ speaking to me and the teaching of the church? See, some of us, when we hear teaching of the church, we already start wearing some kind of an armor protecting us, because we find it a bit difficult to see and discover in the teaching of the church Christ coming towards us, embracing us, loving us, informing us. Change, yes, change it will be. Maybe a big one. The change I mean is that we start looking at and using, approaching the catechism as this handbook for discipleship, as a means of growth. And that change we don't only look for just this year of faith. And after this year we turn back to square one. But we're looking for a change to remain. Difficult change? Probably. Especially when it's old ingrained habits. Old habits, they die hard. How far we have to look into changing, like if you just would entertain the thought for the next prayer group meeting, you share about a passage of the catechism. Yeah, hang on. In the prayer group, we have worship and then we talk about a part of scripture. Yeah, that's good. And what again is the teaching of the church? Is it not also playing in this symphony of the Word of God? Well, in the catechism, that is not exactly my taste. That is not my... Well, since when is the disciple concerned with his taste rather than with that of his master? And discipleship, the center of everything is not the disciple. The center is the master. The question is not whether something is to my taste or not. The question is not whether the sound of what I hear is tickling my ears or not. Scripture has to say something about those people. The question is whether this is what my master wants me to hear. There is discipleship. Well, in the catechism, it doesn't really cover the topics that I think should be covered. Well, see, we are not the masters. We are the apprentice. We are the ones who learn. We do not teach the catechism. We don't teach Mother Church. We learn from Mother Church. And what we have to learn, Mother Church decides, not us. What is big and important? The student doesn't see, the master knows. So even what we consider big, we might have to change. We might have to listen to Christ speaking to us through the teaching church, telling us this is big, this is small, this is important, and this not. Now there is an invitation to a lot of change, I know. But I see what is very helpful in the GOGICC community is so important and such a great gift. Because in the community, in the prayer group, in the mission centers, see, we can help each other here That change just doesn't happen overnight. But it can happen by grace, by us opening our hearts, and by brothers and sisters helping each other to grow into this change, keeping each other in the hand of the potter. A beautiful side effect, well, not even side, it's an important effect, we will see as from a common teaching, we will also come to unity. Common teaching is a road to unity. Unity is also rooted in common teaching. There is no unity where there is no common teaching. You see, the apostles and the Acts of the Apostles in chapter 2, pretty much after Peter finished his famous sermon, it says, they held steadfast to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship, the breaking of the bread, and the prayers. They hold steadfast to the apostles' teaching, and this apostles' teaching we have today. You can hold it in hand as soon as you reach out for the catechism. It's right there. The Pope continues in this document opening the Year of Faith. He says, in its very structure, the Catechism of the Catholic Church follows the development of the faith right up to the great themes of daily life. On page after page, okay, not only here and there, on page after page, we find that what is presented here is no theory. And you go, wow, catechism is another word for theory. Well, the Pope sees it really different. The Pope says, on page after page, we find that what is presented here is no theory, but an encounter with a person who lives within the church. Who could this person be? Well, it's not you and me, and it's not Peter, and it's not Elizabeth or whoever. This person is Christ himself, the one living word. What the Pope says here is, you encounter this one living word, you encounter this person in the teaching of the church, in the catechism. It's not theory. On page after page, we are presented with an encounter with a person. Faith, it means seeking to be transformed by the Word of God, which is a symphony. It is seeking to be transformed. It does not mean taking it as much as we have to, or avoiding it as good as we can. Seeking to be transformed by the Word of God, which is a symphony. Question, do you want to enter through this door of faith? Do you want to cross this threshold? Let us then, in this year of faith, again, anew, read and pray with the sacred scriptures and the catechism, and let us seek to be continuously formed and molded by both. At the beginning of this little talk, I mentioned the first lines of this Porta Fidei, where the Pope says it is possible to cross the threshold. We hear the word of God proclaimed and open our hearts to be shaped by the transforming grace. If you have time to meet, why not share? Maybe. What is my experience of the Catechism? Where is it in my life? Where would I want it to be? What is my practice with the Catechism? What is my relationship with that part of God's Word? And how can we help each other to cross the threshold of the door of faith? In the next session, we will talk about a little boy who impresses at least me very much. Till then, God bless you.
Radio.org.au